Welcome to Intrepid Scoundrels, an actual play podcast of the Scum and Villainy RPG. I'm Jason, and I'll be your GM.
I'm John, and I'm playing Ezequiel De La Cruz, a rough-and-tumble scoundrel.
I'm Mark, playing Duncan Brell, your ship's mechanic.
I'm Scott. I'm playing Brylan Chencott, also called Bry or BC at Grizzled Stitch.
I'm John R. I'm playing Wyndham Whoosh Woo, the ace pilot of the Intrepid.
I'm Tim, and I'm playing Rail Card, the human mystic with a dark and mysterious past.
I'm Ron, and I'm playing Jenksus Biogeny, a down-on-his-luck mayor and the group's muscle.
And now, on to the episode. And welcome to the episode. Here we go. When last we flew with our intrepid scoundrels, they had just returned from an asteroid science station after making a sort of semi-routine delivery of Minok bodies, and fought their way through an Imperial blockade with a bit of a small delivery for the rebellion back at Surya Station. And you made it back, you made that delivery, dropped it off, only had a little bit of a confrontation with a Rodian, and took some downtime and got paid for that particular job. And it was all, of course, to return to the station to pick up Rail, who you'd left there for this routine delivery, and then continue on your way towards the ice planet on which the Imperial cache is held. Great. Now, before we get to that exciting bit of a story, Tim, you yes. haven't, since you missed the previous couple of sessions, you did not have the chance to do your downtime activities after the job before last, right? And get XP. So have 3 XP, first of all. All the creds that were made from that job were given to other people, I think, or something like that. I don't know if you got one, but so be it. You're an aesthetic Jedi type, right? But you also have 2 downtime activities that you can take here while you were sort of spending the, whatever it was, a couple days that they had taken the ship and gone off to do to an asteroid belt to deliver some
okay.
crates. So what do you want to do?
Well, isn't one of them train?
Yeah, you can train to get some more XP if you wish.
And there's some benefit to doing so on our ship.
That is correct.
Right.
I think there was some ship improvements, and we'll sort of get into the bit that you missed, the plot stuff that you missed after we do the sort of downtime activities.
Okay.
But there's some ship improvements that make basically it's playbook, right? I think you guys put the playbook one on. Mm-hmm. Where's your ship?
I don't remember.
That's not plausible.
I thought
it was Resolve. We did 2 of them, didn't we?
Prowess.
Yes.
Prowess.
You have no, it wasn't prowess.
It's Resolve.
It's Insight, Resolve, and Playbook. So if you train any one of those 3 things, you get 2 XP instead of 1 as a downtime activity.
Oh.
And do you have any stress that you need to get rid of? That's also something to think about.
Yeah, before. I have 4 stress. So here's the thing. My playbook, I have 2 more pips, and then I fill that up, so that I would assume an ability.
Oh yes, you would get an ability your playbook if you wanted to do that. Yeah, so you could spend 1 activity training and 1 activity maybe getting rid of stress or recovering from some of these wounds that you've got.
So if I train on the ship, I get 2.
Yes,
is that what you're saying? So I'll do that. Basically. Let's just take care of that right now, so I can fill my playbook.
Yeah.
All right. And then I think that's going to give me the ability to get myself my lightsaber.
All right.
Which would be kind of why I stayed on the station.
Yeah, right. That makes a lot of sense. Let's talk about this in terms of the story, because we all know that, you know, lightsabers are a whole process. You have to get a kyber crystal and attune it and all that nonsense. Do you think you had a non-functioning saber before this, or do you think you've found someone aboard this space station to another sort of hidden Jedi or force sensitive person to train to help you out?
I think, well, one of my things is I have friends, right?
Mm-hmm, sure. And we all do, but we don't see me bragging.
Right. One of my friends is a fellow mystic. And okay. I probably, in my backstory mind, I met this person in my wanderings, and they, I'm going to assume that Blish is a female.
Okay, great.
So I'm just going to go with that.
Sure.
Said, oh, hey, you're Force sensitive. You, and then she introduced me to the path of it and then gave me a beat up lightsaber, but said, you know, you're not quite ready. You don't have the kyber crystal. Mm-hmm. So I would say that I've been looking for a kyber crystal and looking for a way to do this. And right, that maybe I found one on the station that might just work.
Okay. Yeah. So you're maybe like, you know, I'm picturing this station being a little bit of like having a bit of a promenade and that kind of stuff. Having lots mm-hmm. of a marketplace vibe to certain sections. Right. And so while you're roaming there between jobs, you spot one of these crystals, like kind of maybe even being like sold for less than it's clearly worth by someone who doesn't realize what it is. And so, you know, is it a situation where you pay fair market value for it, or do you just kind of get it on the cheap because that person doesn't know what it is? You let them know like, oh, this is actually worth a lot more, or do you?
I would definitely get it on the cheap.
You get it on the tape? Great.
It's like, it's probably in like a necklace or a pendant or something.
Oh,
it's
yeah,
like,
perfect.
It's like, holy crap, that's mm-hmm. not what you think it is. I'm just going to... I like this. I'm taking it. Here's so your paltry self.
Yeah, you like half-heartedly haggle with the shopkeep maybe first minute, but you end up giving him what he's charging for it. But he thinks he's got one over on you, but you've clearly got one over on him. Fair enough. And then you take it to like some secluded part of the station for a little bit because you know these guys are taking the ship off and sort of think about it and train with it and attune to it and slot it into the hilt.
Yep.
Light it up. What color are we talking?
I need the guide. There's a specific thing for this one. I'm going to say orange.
Ooh, all right.
Nice.
That sounds cool.
Orange.
Let's all remember that.
I was hoping purple. Purple.
Purple's cool. Only Mace Windu can have purple.
I know. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I don't have the wallet.
Yeah.
I mean, at least orange comes with a nice scent, right?
Yeah.
It's not a scratch and sniff. Dream. It's not one of those old markers. Yeah. Cool. So you can zero out your playbook XP for later. And hold on. So actually, hold on, because you got 3 XP just for the job. And so did you put that in your sheet? Okay, you put that in your sheet already. Okay.
And then that. Train. Mm-hmm.
And then you're doing train. Another and you do a playbook train. Okay. So what do you want to do with your second downtime activity?
I'm gonna have to. So I could reduce my stress, but what's the ship thing? I mean, I am like almost half, but see, the thing is I don't want to go and do, I'd rather have a lot of stress and then roll that 6.
then roll the 5 or 6 right now when you, over.
Okay, fair enough. Mm-hmm. But remember, if you fill up your stress meter, you get a trauma.
Oh, that's true.
Oh, don't threaten me with a good time.
No, fair enough.
You know what? I'll just reduce my stress.
Okay.
I'll do that.
So you, but it's part of the part, probably because, you know, your vice is also kind of force stuff, right? So this whole process is both of the things for you. It's training and maybe releasing some stress. Maybe after you've activated the lightsaber, you spend a few hours just practicing with it, you know, getting a feel for it.
Yep.
Okay. So give me that vice check. It's going to be for you a D6. So, you know,
D6, right?
It's straight up D6 for you. Yeah, you can just click on the vice to button to roll that. But, you know, what are the odds?
What are the odds? Okay. What am I supposed to click on?
So there's that vice, where your stress is, there's that that word vice. If you click on that.
Oh, there it is. Okay. So it's like doing the weird. I was clicking on the weird.
Oh, no, that's just sort of to set what your vice is.
Okay.
3. Look at that. There you go. That's nice. You get to have a little bit of stress then.
Optimal stress level. That's the thing.
Pretty much. Yeah. So, and I'm also just noticing you do have a couple harms. I think you, what I've sort of said, these level one harms are fairly transitory, and you had a whole job off. So I'm going to say that your level one harm can go away.
Okay.
Your level two harm is still going to be there.
Okay.
But you have a doctor.
Unless you spend a cred later, but yes. And you know, BC can be, maybe patch you up at the beginning of the next job. Who knows? But
rules question. Do harms drop ever? Like, will a level two harm ever then eventually become a level one harm, or is it just you've got it or you don't?
The rules as written, no, definitely never. But the way I sort of play with harm, to because these harms stick around a lot, according to the rules as written, I like to have the level one harms kind of do disappear, but the level two and higher, you need medical attention, basically.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it won't go. Reduce.
Otherwise, they won't really get reduced. They're still you're doing stuff. You're aggravating it. You know, it's not getting healed. I suppose if you played another character for like three or four jobs, that you might come back with a slightly healed character. But and that's not going to be what we're going to do here.
You've been gone for three jobs and your wounds are still suppurating. That's
what's that smell? During that particular bit of meditation and lightsaber practice, Rael, you get a little bit of a vision. This is sort of how we ended the last session, on a little bit of a cliffhanger of you coming in, because you get a sense that this Imperial cache that you guys are heading towards eventually actually may contain some sort of force artifact. You have this vision where you are in some sort of desolate icescape, winds kind of blowing in on you, coming from all sides, the snow coming off the permafrost blowing at you, the chill cutting through your body. But you can kind of see in the distance this glow that's more that you can recognize. It's more than just sort of like maybe like the sun reflecting off the snow or whatever. It's this sort of like glow coming from like maybe inside of a mountain. And it is powerful enough to kind of draw you towards it. And when you come out of the vision, you recognize that it is some sort of force effect, essentially, that you're kind of almost calling out to you.
Excellent.
Yeah. Nice. And when they return from their latest job and do their own sort of downtime, that's when you kind of, I had you come in and go, this cache, it's very important that we find it right away. So a couple of the questions though I had before we moved on, I think that Wyndham and BC, two of you also picked up new playbooks, or was it, we know what you picked up, John. We know you picked up,
yes.
Right? What did you pick up?
Shoot
you
first.
You told us what it was. Yes, of course, shoot first. But I think, I know that Scott was going to mull on what playbook option he wanted for BC, so...
Yes, what I settled on was mainly driven by what I've seen with the crew more recently. So we add a gambit to our pool whenever myself or a crew member suffers a level two or greater harm.
Ooh. All right. Well, remind me when that happens.
Yeah. I certainly will. The thought is that, you know, it's called under pressure. Mm-hmm. And I just sense that the more people are taking harms like that, the more we are going to need some gambits to get out of wherever we are.
Okay, great. Very good. And John.
I feel targeted.
Look. How many harms you got right now?
I got a level two.
That's a gambit.
There we go.
Well, you have to take it.
I have to take
from now on.
It's no, it's retroactive. See?
No. Yeah. You guys are getting enough gambits as it is. All right, John, what was the playbook advancement that you took?
Since we have such a dearth of gambits, I took an ability called Punch It, which allows me to spend a gambit on a desperate roll and have it count as risky instead.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Hmm. So that's going to help when you are, you know, it's going to basically going to give you the gambit effect, but also like the any bad things happening to you will be lessened, essentially, because the difference between when you fail risky and when you fail a desperate action, or there's a nice gulf between them.
But you don't get experience then, right? When you do that, or
that is a good question.
That's a good question.
Check the book. Mm.
Yeah.
Oh, because it's risky. It's no longer.
Yeah,
it's
not desperate. Longer desperate. Yeah.
All right. Let me do.
Or you just treat it as risky.
I know. That's what I'm wondering.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't say. Weirdly, it says because you spend a gambit on the roll, even though it counts as risky, the roll may not itself generate a gambit. You still gain the plus one dice for the roll for the gambit, but the position of the roll should be adjusted, as should the consequences. Okay, if the position is fully adjusted, then yeah, no, you do not get an XP for it. That would be my ruling on that. But the consequences are adjusted. So it depends, you know, if you're feeling like you don't want to risk a desperate action, you can risk a risky action. I don't know. Yeah. You know how it is.
Yep, and punch it.
And punch it. All right. Everyone all settled with their characters at this point?
Yes, indeed.
Going? Let's ready to move on. All right, so it's time. It's finally time. You have the coordinates. You're you know, halfway between basically where you were and where you want to go here at this station. You pack in onto the Intrepid and head into hyperspace. You come out just a few sort of minutes away from this unnamed ice planet, right? And as you sort of go into orbit and begin kind of scanning where you believe the coordinates sort of give you an idea of what part of the planet you're looking at, you can see that there is a landing pad. It looks maybe unused, you know, from up here as you sort of get a little bit closer. Maybe it's got a little bit of ice on it, but it's there. It's definitely a you know, a man-made structure.
Okay.
Bring us all to a nice little image here of what this planet looks like. As you fly down, this place, you know, it's 100% covered in ice. It's probably like near the edge of this particular solar system. It is got this sort of large moon that hangs in the sky, but for the most part, it's just covered with ice. And there's some mountains and some sort of other natural features, but it's pretty much just this glacier wasteland of sorts.
Can we name it since it's unnamed?
You can certainly name it. I don't know who you're going to tell, but if you all want to name it and refer to it as that, you can.
Ice and, Station Zebra.
I think that one's been taken.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
With, you know, scans reveal sort of no activity, no sort of like electrical activity, no sort of power surges here and there, no real like in the way that would be considered like automated defenses as you land on this landing pad. This is a fairly large landing pad. Looks like it fit a couple ships, but it is kind of tucked away almost in the shadow of this mountainous kind of structure. And as you sort of bundle yourselves up and step out from the gangplank onto the landing pad, you can see that there is a door, you know, sort of a large metal door kind of set into the stone of this this frozen stone of this mountain.
Did we detect some electron? Is this place seem wholly abandoned, or
it seems whatever it did have, it's like the generators have died out, no fuel basically, right? It's been abandoned long enough for it to kind of just basically run dry. Or you know, maybe there would have been like, it's clear that maybe there might be like a guard station right by this door with a little bit of like looking out, but like there's no one here.
Okay. Well, I think the only way a door like this is going to open is if somebody sticks their tongue on it in the cold metal.
I would say, what's the word for friend in so many different languages? Maybe
you know, speak there's the word no for friend
imperial in... word for friend. is there like a handle or a latch or a panel or a pad or something?
There is a pad, but there's also kind of this, which doesn't have any kind of electricity. But mainly there is this large kind of like wheel. I'm thinking of like a big interior submarine door, right? Just it's just got this huge kind of turning wheel on it. It does look like perhaps maybe like whatever built this sort of took into account that electronics sometimes can really not work well in these sort of sub-zero temperatures. And so there's clearly mechanical ways to sort of get at least get this door, at least this front door open, as far as you can tell.
Okay.
Well, I'll head over to the big wheel then, right? I've got a very nice looking padded vest on over my winter clothes and big gloves. I'll seize the wheel in the big gloves and start turning it.
Grunts and it turns, you, the ice kind of cracking on this wheel, falling off. You manage to turn it and get it open enough that you can sort of see inside. And it's dark in there, right? Mm-hmm. So you're going to need to bring some extra lights, flashlights, basically. And as you peer in, in here it's also kind of very cold. You can see mm-hmm. your breath kind of frosting. It does look like there's some electronic lighting in the ceiling and all, but it's all just sort of dead. You see a couple rooms off to the side, but mainly it's just sort of like not a very complicated structure. It's sort of meant to be like this is almost like a bank vault, and that's about it.
Mm-hmm. That's really weird.
Yeah.
Do I have any feel of familiarity?
Yeah, you get this sort of this tugging sensation, sort of calling you forward into the structure.
Does BC sense anything with his sort of latent?
I think it's strong enough that even BC would sense it too. Yeah, you're getting a little bit of like a, it's not like a sense of foreboding so much as it is a sort of a faint sort of hackles rising on the back of your neck.
Right. I think
anticipation.
BC would look at Rael and say, you still don't seem like that rust has fully helped you.
It's a little busy, and he pats his thigh where it has the lightsabers hanging off.
Very nice, but we want to make sure that you can use it as well. Do you need a bit of a patch before we go further?
That would certainly be appreciated.
Okay, hang on.
Is he like, it's like kind of tenderly like pokes his breastplate?
Bonk, bonk, bonk.
They haven't got that armor repaired yet.
No.
Mm-hmm. No. Well, what's in the inside that counts.
Yeah.
So I would like to do a patch before we go in.
Sure,
that
Well, I'll peek in, though. You said are there alcoves along this main entrance, or is there other doors with...
Yeah, there are a couple hatches? Sort of other... These doors are doorways more than they are anything. A couple off to the side. Right. And then there's a sort of another sort of larger door at the end of the hallway.
Huh. Okay. Well, if they're doing the patch, I'll go ahead and slip in, but not go very far. Like, I want to go just... I want to kind of edge just around the door.
Yeah, yeah. You are looking? Oh, look at that. 100%. Success.
Very nice.
And we'll say that's a gambit. You didn't spend a gambit, so why don't you get a gambit? Great. Nice. So, Rael, you can basically ignore that stress for this job. So that's great.
The wounds.
The wounds. You're level 2 harm. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
But I still leave. Sorry. You still want me to...
You leave it there. Still there. Okay. You're just sort of...
Yeah, it exists.
Basically be given some stims or whatever to keep you going.
Yeah, I put a neat little bandage with a lightsaber on it.
Okay.
So, Jinxus, you kind of look in and peek in. The room sort of immediately inside the door, inside this hallway, does look like it's some sort of guard room. It has kind of like a sort of a slit that sort of looks out onto the landing pad. And there are a couple of control panels there. Again, they're frosted over and unworking. Mm-hmm. And there's a couple chairs, of course. Right. Classic, and all looks like classic Imperial technology. So just going to picture that in your head.
I guess ice could be days or years old. How long does this look abandoned? Is there any way to figure that out? I'm not the right person for this. Can somebody get up like a chronometer or something and figure out how long this has been?
I can try studying it.
Yeah, a study would do the trick.
Oh, well, even I can do study.
Well, you want to study it there, Jenksis?
Sure.
Do you have a dot in that?
I do.
All right. This is going to be a controlled standard effect.
Controlled standard.
Controlled standard. This is not, you're not in a whole lot of risk of...
Mm-hmm.
Of
no, not really.
Four.
So, reduced effect. So, limited effect on that. So, with a four, I'm going to say that basically, like, you can get a general vibe that it's been probably... somewhere around a year,
Okay.
You imagine, mm-hmm. right? And to sort of put this into sort of the timeline, we'll also say that that's around about when the second Death Star got blown up, right?
All right, everything went pretty bad for the Empire in those days, mm-hmm. and people could be looking to get gone.
But it could have been abandoned like even before that. But you're not sure. Mm-hmm. Sure, but you should have kind of guesstimate that it might be around that time.
Okay.
Well, I had a thought. Could we could I run a cable from the ship to bring some power into the computers and try to find some logs or information that way?
Yeah, you sure can.
Okay.
Logs would be great because it's cold here.
Right. That'd be a rig.
Yeah, give me a rig. We'll call this controlled standard too.
Controlled standard, okay.
Yeah.
Hold on here. I can't get the thing to do a thing.
The thing won't do the thing.
The thing.
It doesn't want to do it. Try again here. There it is. Controlled roll.
Classic. Ooh. Mark roll.
Three, yeah. Mm-hmm.
A 3-1. So this is the situation where you can press it on, roll again, but it's risky now. Or you can just sort of say, forget about it.
I will roll again.
All right.
Risky.
So, you know, the cables, it's cold. You're trying to get them to work. It's they're not insulated enough, even though they're meant for space or whatever. Terrific. Okay, great. Reduced effect. So again, with a 4, I'll give this reduced effect. You get like sort of, it's going to take some time to get this thing up to be completely functional again, especially with the ship from the power from the ship. But you're able to kind of turn on some lights, some basically emergency lighting in here, and get maybe like the final transmission essentially that is kind of is going out. From this place, this Imperial cache, and it in a nutshell, it's essentially it's actually not going out. It's actually for like if anyone were to come back and find this sort of transmission, saying like we have to abandon this position. The Empire is in the process of falling, and if anyone were to find this, then good for you, basically. You know, hopefully may the Empire rise again or something like that. You know, like kind of a situation of like. We don't have it's not even the word that's saying that the rebels are pressing in. They're just kind of leaving it. That does feel, just to put that in perspective, that is a little odd. They weren't given orders to, according to this sort of log, they just kind of decided to leave.
As far as last messages go, that's actually pretty harmless for us. Way better than something like, the ground shakes, drums in the deep.
Right.
Yeah, but the fact that it's a little odd, though, might mean that maybe it's not a real message.
Only one way to find out. Let's go take a poke around.
Left behind some traps or something, possibly.
Yeah, I was thinking that. Maybe
hearing that if the Empire falls.
Right, that it's not the Empire that's here.
No, there's something very force related here.
Oh, right, but what I'm saying is that they don't expect somebody from the Empire to find it with that type of message.
Ah.
Just a thought.
Just a thought.
All right.
They're pressing sort of a little bit more in. There are basically a room that's essentially a barracks that looks like it holds maybe like, 4 people total, and a small commissary style area / like relaxation area. It's like pretty Spartan here. The furniture was sort of basically left, but there's not a whole lot of like decorations or anything like that. There's maybe one Imperial banner hanging in the commissary, and that's about it. It basically looks like this might, I don't know whether or not it's a. They seem to be depending on the remoteness of this place to sort of defend it more than like having a whole garrison of troops here, right? But when you go ahead, John.
Well, I was going to say, but why is it here in the first place? I mean, that's what I'm wondering. You know, it's not well defended. It's this big cache or something. Is it like like emergency stockpile for, you know, troops that might be otherwise engaged in the region. It's just kind of a, just strikes me as being an odd place to put up a small garrison.
Yeah, for sure. It is definitely odd.
Study help?
You can give me a study. Maybe you can sort of root some power, find another log or two or something like that. Mm-hmm. Maybe there's a written something somewhere.
I'd like to try that.
Okay. All right. Anyone who wants to do it can.
All right. Yeah. Because as a former Imperial trooper, I would have an insight to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyone who wants to do this can give me a controlled standard. And we'll see how much information I feel like giving out.
Well, that would be nice. Wow.
See, it's too cold for you.
All right.
Oh, my gosh. Nothing. Rail. Both of you, I'm going to say, oh, my goodness, you all failed that. That's great. Wow. Oh, who's this?
Well, somebody got a six.
Excuse me.
Say, I didn't know you were doing it there.
The mayor. Ron.
So for now, let's say that, Rail and BC, you guys are a little distracted by this sort of something in the back of your head.
Yeah.
Not quite calling out, but just kind of there. Like there's like a faint ringing of a bell just at the edge of your hearing. Duncan, on the other hand, is probably just finding it cold and maybe not interesting enough to hunt some stuff down. But or Jinxus just gets there first. Jinxus, you find a kind of a its own sort of container, like a hollow map kind of thing. And you're able to pull that up, and it kind of shows the general solar system that you're in. And indeed, it looks like it's dated, you know, it has a sort of a galactic date on it that is clearly like in the final days of the Empire, when this plan that you've got here was conceived, is a kind of a expansion into this system, which is otherwise was not Imperial led in any way, right? It was not held by the Empire at all. But it's clear like they're in the wanted to be in the process of setting up bases on several of the other planets
in this remote system.
Yeah, in this remote system.
Hmm.
There is one planet on there of note that has an kind of an unusual symbol on it.
Is it a big gear?
Since you got a six, I'm looking it up right now to show you to describe it. It is kind of a fan-like shape. It basically has like sort of eight feathers, and then a sort of in the center, kind of almost like a dagger, a dagger is probably the best word I can think of describe for it, or spearhead, kind of pointing up.
That's what
Yeah, in front of this, and Ron, tell me if Jinx is up on like. You know, you got a six, so you probably know what. Yeah, I'm going to tell you what it is. But like, do you think Jinxus is up on the history?
Oh goodness, no.
Okay.
Like, no, that sounds like scholarly stuff. Look, I know enough to get elected and get the people to like me, but I look to the future, not the past, and that's why people like you should vote for a guy like me.
Just go on a whole spiel. Perhaps you kind of show this around. And
Does anybody, does this mean anything to anybody?
One of you recognizes it as a symbol, an old symbol of what is known as the High Republics, which was a crest that sort of represented the Jedi Order way back in the day.
Okay.
Well, that might, and that's not sort of your... attached to this particular planet. It's attached to another planet, sort of closer in the more habitable zone of this.
Oh, so the one planet that's indicated with this isn't this one?
No,
it's a different one.
Oh, okay,
it's a different one. Yeah.
And are the other planets in this system inhabited? Any of them inhabited?
And I say not according to this map, whether that's true or not, was didn't seem to be of any consequence to the person who made this plan. You know what? Actually, that's not 100% true. Maybe there's like that that particular planet with the High Republic crest on it, and like one other planet does have sort of a marking on there that says, you know, a sort of a how much resistance the Empire might face if they tried to put a base there, and there's sort of levels there. So you kind of can extrapolate that they're probably inhabited.
Okay.
But the numbers are very low. So mm-hmm. the Empire thinks that whoever is living on these planets would be a pushover, and whether or not that's, you know, true or not, you don't know. But
Real is very excited.
Indeed.
He's like looking at the map and he's like, we need to go here.
We haven't even finished looking around this place yet.
Well, after we're done here.
Okay.
All right. That's fine.
That's fine. All that's left at this point is the sort of vault door at the back of this small little complex. And with the power.
Is that another one? Yeah. Takes turning.
It's a little easier to open because of the minimum amount of power that you've added to the complex here. So it's a little bit easier to sort of wrench it open. And it is, in fact, a vault back there. There, as you open it up and maybe the emergency lighting kind of flickers on, you can see that there is a lot of stuff here.
Perfect. Weapons, that's what we were looking for.
Armor, building materials, everything that a burgeoning general of the Empire would kind of need, you know, to start, right? You know, to get a foothold, or perhaps maybe these are backup supplies once a foothold was made or something like that, right? It's not enough to necessarily arm an entire fleet of Star Destroyers, let's say, but it is good for a troop would come in here and have more than enough armor and weapons left over at this point. Maybe it could furnish about like two or three squadrons worth of soldiers, right?
Great.
A lot of stuff. You're not entirely certain how much you could actually fit on the Intrepid at this point. There's
But there was some sense that some of it is, force echoey or whatever.
Oh, well, let me get to that. Because there's all, and besides, you know, as you're sort of taking this all in and maybe one or two of you are sizing up, thinking about how big the hold is, which is a choice we'll have when you get to it. But there's also kind of like near the back, but separated from a lot of stuff is a small plinth on which kind of hovers this cube shaped object with it's very shiny and very shimmery. And it's just kind of hanging there. Mysteriously. I think you've maybe sort of studied enough to recognize this kind of instantly as a holocron.
Yep.
Yeah. Is that good or bad? Or more importantly, are they worth a lot?
They're priceless.
Sweet. That's a yes to me.
So nothing or a lot. I'm not sure which.
I'm going to go ahead and I'll walk around it and then I'll reach out with the force.
Okay.
And like sense, you know, if it will accept letting me take it, and then I'll take it.
There's a sort of a brief sort of a jumble of images that you can't quite sort of sort through as you reach out towards it, but then it kind of flies up into your hand.
Excellent. All right. I'm going to try and activate it or open it.
Sure. This is going to take some time. It's going to take some study, basically. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm going to actually make this and sort of pre-say this. If you want to like get in here, study everything that's in it, because it's a jumble of it's actually it's possibly slightly scrambled. And so you're going to have to take some time to sort through. It's like someone took a bunch of records from like a filing cabinet, dumped them on the floor, and then put them back in random order. So it's going to take some time to sort of jigsaw it through. So, you know, if you want to do that, we can make that basically a long-term project for future downtime activities.
Okay.
But for now, is also the matter of getting sort of all this stuff. All stuff. How much do you want to try to take, and how much you want to try to take that you might not actually be able to fit into the ship. So essentially the way I'm going to sort of pose this sort of question to you all is if you want to try to take basically all of it, you'll get a little extra cred at the end of the job. But for this particular job, while it's in there, your ship is going to have a minus one dice to helm because it's going to be overstuffed with things.
Mm.
Or you can just take just enough that you don't take that penalty and you get maybe a couple few less cred when you eventually sell it off. That doesn't mean you can't come back here and get it again. But the thing is, then we're going to get the actual twist, not twist exactly, but the actual job part of this job. As you're in the process of at least beginning to load up enough to fit in the hull, right, to get paid something, mm-hmm. right? Whoever is one of you is – I'm going to roll a dice.
You should roll a dice.
There. BC, you're the one out on the landing pad at the moment, but you're – you know, everyone's sort of taking turns carrying stuff in. When you see a dot on the a horizon getting closer and closer and closer, and you can see this other sort of small freighter ship coming toward you at this particular landing pad. And basically, it does look like someone else has found this place. Someone is coming to land right next to you. And what do you want to do?
Guys, we got company. I will inform the others immediately.
All right, we should head out to the landing pad then.
Is it the general?
And might BC, be. You get a real bad vibe from the ship instantly. It's trouble. Or someone on it is trouble. And Rael, even though you're in the vault back there, you get a real chill down your spine. It's not quite like a thousand voices being, millions of voices crying out in unison and then being silenced, but it's like at least two or three voices shouting out and then suddenly being silenced. It's
several.
It's kind of like several.
I think we might want to leave.
Maybe so, or at least be on the ship ready to skedaddle if we need to.
How much more stuff do we have to get?
Well, that's a good question. How much stuff did you want to have? How much stuff did you want to take? Do you want to take more than the ship can hold and get a little extra cred or not?
I think yes.
I vote
back
no.
It in.
Okay, I would say we get the most valuable stuff and leave the trash stuff behind.
Yes. How many squads of that white armor do we need? Come on.
It's not very helpful either. Points at his hole in his chest.
I would also say just what we can fit without overburdening ourselves.
Yeah.
I guess the other part of the complication is that whatever you end up leaving, if you end up leaving something behind and just sort of skedaddle, whoever's coming is going to get it.
It's going
to
be there.
They're going to take it.
Well, are we
a lot of that white armor? They can have a lot of that. We just need one set for maybe future purposes. For
reference.
Yeah. For ruses and shenanigans. Yes. I got it. Okay. So basically what's gonna happen, I think we're gonna finally get into the job proper, and that is getting out of here with the stuff that you just took.
Okay.
All right. And that particular job, we're gonna need an engagement role for that, of course. So let me talk to me about, do you want to do this in a way that is assault? Are you just going to shoot the ship as you're running out of there or something like that? Deception, infiltration is kind of getting back in. Well, that'd be the stealth way out. A mystical way, doing something mystical to cloud their minds. Bargaining, maybe they land. You can say like, hey, look, we just want to, you can have, we'll go. Or transport.
I would remind us that I think our ship still has some damage.
Right. I don't think the shoot 'em up way is to go.
No. It was kind of a lot of, force mumbo jumbo that brought us here. You know, hokey religions and stuff. But maybe the hokey religion is how we get out of here.
Well, whoever's on that ship is
hokier,
much more powerful than I am.
Well, I don't know. Does that mean we can maybe make ourselves look small or something using the force? I don't know how that goes.
I could try. Not really. I'm new at this, so. But, we could try to sort of shield like we're not here. But that might be beyond my ability.
Yeah, we have a cloaking device that we could use to augment that.
Mm-hmm.
So that could at least try to damper. Really.
I could damper me and BC. I could try at least to focus on dampering because I think we're going to stand out like a beacon.
That and the what is holo thing that you have.
The holocron?
Holocron.
That's what I think he's after.
Yeah.
So if everything else here is worthless.
That's the thing you need to calm down, try to hide. So maybe infiltration is the way we're going with a combination of ship cloaking plus force cloaking.
Force cloaking? Mm-hmm. All right. I like that.
We've also got the transponder spoofer.
Well, yeah, that'd be good if you wanted to sort of, as a backup something.
We're not here, and if we are, we're not us.
That's exactly right.
You don't know what you're talking about. I think this is particularly bold enough to be interesting. I'm going to say a dice for that.
Bold enough to be interesting.
There is something else that is sort of essentially a higher tier enemy would be one way to put it. Which is going to subtract a die. So we're going to deal with a single die on this engagement roll to see how you start.
Can we use a gambit?
I don't think you can use a gambit on these.
Okay.
Oh.
I've never seen it, but because it's one of these. Okay. That's a three. So you're going to end up in a desperate position when this all goes down. And the way that works is that you're in there and you are beginning to power up the ship before they can come any closer. Wyndham and Duncan, something goes wrong immediately. It looks like whatever, maybe perhaps however they found this place, whether or not it was a combination of mystical, but there's something, someone has sabotaged the ship. Essentially, or at least put in a sort of a remote sabotage option, which they have triggered. So as you are trying to power the ship up and fly on out of here, some of the systems go dead and that other ship lands kind of right next to yours. And the first thing that you see as the sort of the gangplank comes down is a familiar face or two or three. First out of the ship is a big hulking ape lizard by the name of Lech, followed by a red-skinned Twi'lek whose name you never got, but her name was Nunji, and then the Trandoshan named whose name also I don't think you ever got. His name was Crossed.
Okay.
They're stepping out of the ship. Nunji and Crossed have guns sort of like trained on your ship at the moment. And actually, you can see Crossed has a kind of like a remote control in his other hand as well. He's shouting up at there. Well, well, well. Looks like we meet again. And looks like I got the upper hand this time. Come on, step on out of there, and we're going to... You've got something that my friend up here wants, and we can just take that off your hands and be on our way. We won't have to get into any sort of skirmishes or scuffles.
I reach over and lock the door. Who's got the upper hand now, pal? Come get us.
Oh, I would love for that to be true.
They're going
to
pick
up
assault.
I would love to come get you. Well, you know, it's infiltration, but then it didn't. You're starting off in a very desperate position.
So.
He kind of looks over at Lech and sort of gestures who, and Lech kind of trundles his way up to the door, basically the gangplank of your ship, and is beginning to kind of like tear at the hull. Ripping off the door that you just locked.
I don't like that.
We need to get this thing operational again.
Yeah.
So you need to find that. You need to find the device.
Start pulling fuses.
Mm-hmm. He's got a device in here somewhere. We got to find it.
Is it some sort of old sabotage? Could it be related to this fantastical cube thing we just found?
No, he had a device in his hand. So yeah, he switched something on.
Oh, he's the one that did it from.
Yeah. Yeah. He turned something on.
Yeah. We had some repairs done. It probably slipped it in then.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking.
I got to find it or bypass it.
Mm-hmm. How do you want to do that?
I think a rig roll to try to bypass whatever has shut down our systems.
Okay,
I'll go look for it while you're trying to bypass.
Yeah, happy to have you do that.
All right, that's fine. We'll do this as a clock that I'm going to throw up on here, and then you know both of you can sort of work towards getting the ship operational again, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But this is going to be an eight tick clock segment. Fair. 8-segment clock.
Okay.
As I look a way to add it. Okay. Go ahead and give me a risky standard roll.
Risky standard. I'd like to use a gambit.
Go for it.
Okay. Let's roll that.
Ooh.
Threes across the board.
Threes across the board. Let me get rid of that gambit.
Yeah.
Off the ship. There we go. You're already in a desperate position. Oh, sorry. This should have been desperate. Anyway, you're in desperate position. You give yourself an XP for that. However, it's still a failure, which means that the it's even worse. The complication. No. Oh, here's what we'll do. So there's also the other clock that is happening, which is the clock of can Letch rip the door off of your ship.
Yikes.
Letch opens the door. Clock.
Do we have a patch kit if I put a hole in your door? As opposed to him ripping it off, is it okay if I
mean, we could probably have a interior bulkhead we could drop or something.
Yeah, I'm sure we could do something.
We can rip some scrap off their ship when we're done with them.
Anyway, a patch, but I don't think that's going to suffice.
So that failure is going to mean that you're taking time, which means that the Letch opens the door clock is being ticked 3 times.
Oof.
Okay. Can I do some looking around? See if I can find
do some looking around? Well, how do you want to look around?
Well, I'm just going to, you know, peer into places to find something that doesn't belong. That's, I think I'm going to try to scrutinize details and interpret evidence. Is that one of the skills? Oh, gosh, I guess, yeah, maybe it's study. I just look for something that seems out of place on a ship like this.
Sure. This is also desperate, but desperate standard.
Can I use one of our gambits as well? Gambi?
We're down to 3, but yeah.
Alrighty.
Seems like it's pretty important, though. I'd say use
it. And that adds +1 die, right?
Yeah, you know what? I'm gonna help him a little bit.
Take a stress.
Oh, man, I appreciate that.
Yeah,
that's 4 die.
So the base die, 1 modifier, +2, 1 for the...
One for the gambit, one for help.
One for the help.
For help.
One for teamwork.
And if I stress myself, just look real fast.
You could take 2 stress and give yourself another die.
All right, I'll do that. All right. Well, 5. That?
Terrific. That is going to be basically two ticks on your clock, on the good clock. So you run around and you find something that looks a little out of place, sort of like on the engines or in the engine room, that looks like a kind of like a, it's got a big like antenna on it, essentially, right?
Oh, it's like a booster for some signal to go someplace else.
Yeah.
This
is part of it. So it's not quite the thing that's causing the problem, but you can at least shut this off. All right. Crossed will have to be closer or something if you wanted to do something else with the ship. You can hear the sounds of the metal being ripped.
Is he really close to the door? Is he like putting his body into it?
Oh yeah. Okay. He's there.
I'm going to just go up to the door and I'm going to put my lightsaber right square in the middle of where his body thing. And I'm just going to turn it on. It's going to punch right through.
Yep.
Because that's what a lightsaber does. I'm just going to go. Boom.
Does.
Yep.
One thing, Ron, don't forget to mark an XP for the study related attribute.
Oh yeah. Cause of study, I get the XP and insight. Yes.
Yep. I think we're still desperate. So this, Tim, this is also desperate Standard. Desperate, great, because you're using a lightsaber.
Okay, so is it a tune or a scrap?
I think it's going to be scrap.
Okay. Okay. It's going to be, it's desperate, but great. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Do I want to do a gambit on this? Or we're just burning through this like crazy. Okay. So I'll spend a gambit.
We can get more gambits.
That's true.
So that gives me three dice.
At the gambit store?
Gambit, gambai, I don't know.
Okay. Here we go. Oh, hell yeah.
That's good. That's a six.
Oh, that's very good.
Yeah. That's a six? Okay.
Yeah. It is indeed. Two ones, but it was the other one was a six, so that's good.
And that's what you need.
I don't see you that. You didn't see the ones.
They don't matter. All right.
Those aren't the dice you're looking for.
Don't forget the XP on prowess, and you succeed. So it's a great effect. So what I will have you pierce, you hear me howling in pain, and he backs off a bit, which gives you enough time to sort of, again, sort of as you tinker through the thing, ticking on three ticks onto your operational ship clock, giving you five total. Out of the eight you need to get on out of here.
Mm-hmm.
It does look like when that happens, and Letch sort of like stumbles back, crossed, is now sort of now shaking his head. Well, he shouts in, I guess we was going to try to do this the civil way. But it looks like my friend is going to have to get involved in this. Kind of pushing past him, coming down off the gangplank of this of Cross's freighter, is a cloaked figure wearing a creepy mask. Where is that art? He looks like this. He is basically fully cloaked. Fully berobed, one would say. This sort of classic sort of three sort of brass lines across the thing. And as he steps down to the edge of the gangplank, he ignites a red lightsaber. And that is where we'll end tonight's this particular
game. Oh, man.
Oh, wow. Boy.